winning this war. And the reason I say this is that Putin has failed strategically. He wanted to make Ukraine Russian. It became European. He wanted to prevent the enlargement of NATO. He got Finland and Sweden. And he wanted to keep our defense expenditure down. And it's now going up to 5%. Secondly, he's losing on the military front. Remember that when the war began, Russia acquired 12% of Ukrainian territory. That's 12 years ago. Since then, 8%. In the past 2 years, 1%. In December, Ukraine was able to kill 34,000 Russian soldiers. They were not able to recruit back. So my answer is, just keep on what you're doing, and at the end of the day, you will prevail and win this war.
I think Putin also in a difficult position, because I can speak with you and shake hands, and I don't afraid, and I want to be free, and I want to change after politics, after everything.
And you're here.
Yes, I'm here, you see? Can you imagine? So I'm a free person, and I think that, and I'm younger than Putin, you know? No, believe me, this is important. He doesn't have too much time, you know? Not too much time. Yes, God bless, not too much time.
This is my video update on this Saturday afternoon, February the 14th, coming to you from Hagia Napa, Cyprus. Let's talk about some news. And let's start things off with the Munich Security Conference, which kicked off yesterday. And it was everything that we expected and so much more. All the cool kids were in Munich and they were giving all kinds of crazy speeches and statements. Of course, a lot of focus on Project Ukraine and Russia and Putin. And building a big European military for Ursula. That's what it was all about. She talked about building a big military to take on the challenges of Russia. Building a NATO 2.0, the EU and NATO merging together as one. That was Ursula's message in Munich. Very windy here in Hagia Napa. And then we had Alexander Stubb. He stole the show. The leader of Finland. He stole the show, saying that Ukraine just needs to keep fighting, just needs to keep doing what they're doing. That is what Stubb said. That was his message. And you will win. Keep on fighting, Ukraine, and you will win. Quite a message from Alexander Stubb. Of course, before he said that Ukraine is going to win if they continue to fight, he talked about how Russia is gaining no territory, how Russia has lost 30 or 35,000 troops in 1 month. And this is becoming common, actually, now over the past couple of weeks, now that I think about it. You have a lot of collective West leaders talking about how Russia is losing 35,000 troops in 1 month. You know where this originated? This originated, I believe, with British intel and with the new defense minister of Ukraine. They have a new defense minister who's some tech whiz kid, and Zelensky appointed him as the defense minister, and then he came out with this propaganda that Russia is losing 30 or 35,000 troops in a single month or last month, and now you have all of the European leaders repeating that. You have Stubb repeating that. You had Kaya Kallas now repeating it, a scripted talking point that they came up with in order to keep the war going, right? That's what it's all about. So that was Stubb's message. Just keep on fighting, Ukraine. Keep on fighting, and eventually you'll win. He also said that one way countries can remain safe in this very chaotic and dangerous world is if they join the European Union. One of the panel hosts in Munich asked Stubb, what should smaller countries do in order to remain safe? And Stubb's answer was, join the EU. That's what you should do. Join the EU, everybody, so you can remain safe. The EU will protect you. Alexander Stubb will protect you if you're a small country. Yeah, right. Okay, Mr. Stubb, Alensky is also in Munich, Le Gobelin Vert. He is also saying that Ukraine can win, that Russia is not winning, Ukraine is not losing. Keep fighting and Ukraine can win. So now you have Kaya Kallas, who said yesterday that Russia is not winning. You have Alexander Stubb now, who is saying Russia is not winning and Ukraine can win. And now you have the Green Goblin also saying that Russia is not winning and Ukraine can win. I think we have a scripted scenario playing out, a scripted theme that is now playing out in Munich. Alensky was giving an interview to Politico in Munich, and he was asked about the conflict and Putin. And Alensky's response, wow, what a response from Le Gobelin Vert. He said that it's very important to understand, as he was speaking to the Politico journalist, that whatever's going on in the conflict in Ukraine, that Alensky's young, and Putin is old. And he said, God willing, this is what he said, God willing, Putin is going to pass away and I'm going to still be around. And then he said that he's free. He said, I'm free. Putin's not free. He said, I can come to Munich. I can hang out with you guys. I can shake people's hands. I can hug them. I can wear my Alensky number 5. I'm free. But he said, Putin is not free. And he's also old. He told the audience, it's very important. He said, hey, this is very important. People listening here in audience. I young, Putin old. That was Alensky's message. I am younger than Putin. This is important. He does not have too much time. I don't know, Alensky. I don't know. I don't know about those words. But anyway, Politico was happy to interview the Green Goblin. Quite a statement from Alensky. He also met with the exiled prince or king of Iran. He met with him. That was something. We got it on video. Alensky meeting the exiled prince of Iran, Pahlavi, Reza Pahlavi or Pahlavi. I forget the guy's name. But they met. They talked about how much they despise Russia. The exiled prince is showing support for Ukraine. And Alensky showing support for the exiled prince. The Green Goblin met the fresh prince of Bel-Air. The exiled prince of Bel-Air, Pahlavi. Oh, man. The clown actor, the clown comedian meets the man who pretends to be the prince or the king of Iran. What a clown show in Munich. What a clown show. We had the U.S. NATO ambassador, Matt Whitaker. He was speaking in Munich, and he said that this is some top-level projection. He said that the conflict in Ukraine can end. The only thing that needs to happen is for China to just simply pull their support of Russia. This is what the U.S. ambassador is saying. He is saying that the only reason Russia is in this thing is because of all the support of China. And the simple way to end the conflict in Ukraine is for China to just pull its support. If China pulls its support, then he says Russia collapses. Next day, the conflict is over. That's how simple it is. Really, Mr. Whitaker, really? It's China that needs to pull its support of Russia and the conflict ends. Not the U.S. and 40 other countries in the collective West that have been demilitarized and deindustrialized and have given everything that they pretty much have to Ukraine, that if they pulled their support, fully pulled their support, then the conflict would end right away. Those countries are the ones that are supporting Ukraine. But it's China. It's China, says Whitaker. It's China's support of Russia that is keeping this war going. Not the U.S.'s support of Ukraine and all of the countries of the collective West support of Ukraine that is keeping this conflict going. Anyway, that is the very important position of U.S. Ambassador to NATO, Mr. Whitaker. That's what he said. Ursula, time to bring EU mutual defense clause to life. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has called on the European Union to activate the mutual defense provision under Article 42.7. Yep, the European Union. Militarizing. Time to militarize, even though we're demilitarized and deindustrialized, and we have very expensive energy, only accessible through U.S. LNG. No matter, we can find a way to militarize. Ursula said that the EU is an industrial powerhouse, she said. And yes, we can make cars and automobiles, but we can also produce tanks. Lots of tanks. Because we have to take on Russia. What a nightmare scenario this is turning out to be. Someone said, who said that? I think it was it Stahmer? Yeah, I think it was Stahmer. He's also in Munich, of course. Anything to get away from London. But I believe Stahmer said this. Anyway, one of the cool kids said that there's going to be a conflict with Russia by 2030. That Russia, I think they said Russia's going to invade Europe by 2030 or something along those lines. I forgot exactly the leader, but I believe it was Sir Keir 008 Stahmer. Anyway, they were going to have a meeting before all of the speeches kicked off in Munich. And they were going to have a meeting which is called the Berlin Format or something like that, the Berlin Group of Countries. And it's basically all of the main countries in the collective West with the United States that get together to discuss more money to the Zelensky regime, more weapons and more money. And they were going to meet ahead of the conference, before the conference kicked off. And of course, the most important country to attend this Berlin format has been and remains the United States. And Marco Rubio was going to attend this format, this meeting, and he didn't show up. Marco Rubio did not show up. He canceled going to the meeting because of a very hectic schedule. That's what the State Department said. And Merz and all of the European leaders who were waiting for Rubio so they can talk about money and weapons to Ukraine. They were stood up. They were stood up. And they were upset. Boy, were they upset. An unnamed European official described the last-minute cancellation, officially blamed on alleged scheduling conflicts, as insane, while another told FT that without Rubio, the entire meeting lacked substance. Yeah, without the money and the weapons of the United States, there's no reason for us to meet. Rubio stood them up. Oh, boy. Kaya Kallas has been trying to get a meeting with Rubio for the past year. She can't get a meeting with the Secretary of State. I can get a meeting with the Secretary of State, Kaya Kallas. Come on, you're the top diplomat of Europe, and you're telling me you can't get a meeting with the Secretary of State of the United States, your number one partner, your best ally, your buddies, your friends? Your friends in the rules-based order? You can't get a meeting with them? Come on. Yeah, Rubio doesn't want to meet with these guys. He doesn't want to meet with them. Scheduling conflicts is what they said. Yeah, right. Oh, wow. Yeah, the first day of Munich did not disappoint. Today we have Rubio's big speech. That's going to be a good one. Let's see what he says in Munich. And then it ends. I believe today is the last day of this clown show, and then we can get on with our lives. Maybe Alensky is going to speak today as well. I don't know. It's always fun to listen to Alensky give his speeches. So we have a date for the next meeting between the United States, Russia, and Ukraine, a trilateral meeting. And this has been confirmed by the Kremlin, by Peskov. It's going to take place in Geneva on the 17th and 18th. And Peskov was very specific, very sure to say that at this meeting, there will be no European officials. He wanted to make a point of saying at this trilateral meeting, there will be no Europeans at the table. But we are going to get another trilateral meeting between the three countries, and this time heading up the Russian delegation will be Vladimir Medinsky, who was the negotiator in 2022 before Boris Johnson sabotaged it. And he was also the negotiator not of the last two in Abu Dhabi, but of the previous ones where we had a lot of prisoner releases. So the fact that now Medinsky is going to be at these negotiations, I think, is significant. I think that does show that there is some progress being made for him to be attending. So that's an interesting development. Sikorsky's very upset at the fact that Europe is not going to have a seat at the table. The foreign minister, thank you, USA, for Nord Stream, Radoslav Sikorsky, very high-level neocon. He is very, very upset that Europe is not going to be at these negotiations. He said, we pay for the war, and we don't even always have the full information, Sikorsky told Bloomberg TV on Friday on the sidelines of the Munich Security Conference. We pay for the war? We don't even have all the information of what is going on. We don't even get a seat at the table. We pay for the war. Well, the U.S. pays a lot for the war. It has paid a lot for the war. But yeah, that's what being a vassal means, right? You pay for stuff. And of course you're not included at the table. That's the definition of a vassal, Sikorsky. You're not a partner. You're not on an equal level. You guys are vassals. So pay up, and the U.S. will handle the negotiations. They'll do the talking. You guys pay. You pay. The U.S. will do the talking. That's how it works. And the U.S. will make the decisions. That's what it means to be a vassal. So moving on, we had Trump speaking to the media, and he was asked about Iran and whether he would like, if he would like, a regime change in Iran. And Trump said, yeah, a regime change could be the best thing. And then he started to talk about how people are dying, and they've been talking for 47 years, and every year more and more people die, or something along those lines. He started to ramble on about stuff that you can tell Trump has no idea about, right? But anyway, he said the quiet part out loud. He said something that we've been saying on the Duran for such a long time now. I believe we were the first channel, one of the first, if not the first channel, that actually said, you know, the whole Iran thing, it has nothing to do with uranium or anything like that. Missiles, uranium, enrichment, protesters, all of that is nonsense. The whole thing is about regime change. I believe the Duran and Brian Berletic, we were saying this for a while now. And now you have the President of the United States just coming out with it. Right? There's no more hiding it, no more pretenses about what this is. This is really about what this conflict is really all about. It's about regime change. That's what they want. That's what they're going for. Reuters is reporting that the U.S. is moving enough military forces into the region for a weeks-long operation. It looks like we're going to get a big strike. That's the way it looks. Trump even said that he's moving more aircraft carrier groups to the area. And according to Reuters, we're looking at a week-long operation to try and get that regime change. It's going to probably be a very, very big, intense, shock and awe kind of thing that the U.S. is hoping to sustain for 1 week and to collapse the Iranian government. That looks like the plan. When this is all going to start, I don't know, but it's going to take a week or so for the other carrier groups to get to the region, the USS Ford and perhaps the USS H.W. Bush. So let's talk a little bit about Epstein. We could talk a lot about Epstein, but we have a high-level U.S. former U.S. Official of the Obama era and a high-powered lawyer working for Goldman Sachs who has now quit over the Jeffrey Epstein files. Uncle Jeffrey, ex-Obama counsel, quits Goldman Sachs over Uncle Jeffrey. Kathy Ruemmler has cited media attention as a distraction after unsealed files showed her close ties with Epstein, convicted offender Epstein. The latest documents suggest, however, that they exchanged extensive communications with Epstein from 2014 to 19, long after his 2008 guilty plea to soliciting prostitution from a minor. I'm totally tricked out by Uncle Jeffrey today. Jeffrey boots, handbag, and watch, she wrote in a January 2019, as quoted by the Financial Times. Other emails suggest she accepted Hermes bags, fur coats, wine, spa appointments, haircuts, and plane tickets from him. Unbelievable stuff, huh? Bags, plane tickets, fur coats. According to the Financial Times, this is what she accepted from Epstein. So I believe she's stepping down in June, officially quitting as a Goldman Sachs counsel or lawyer representative. And she was in the Obama, or she was a lawyer, a counsel to President Obama. Reid Hoffman and Elon Musk are going at it once again over the Epstein documents. Reid Hoffman posted on X, "The FBI cleared me. You, on the other hand..." This is in reply to Elon Musk saying Hoffman should be investigated. So then Reid Hoffman posts, "The FBI cleared me, you on the other hand, okay?" And then Elon Musk replied to Reid Hoffman, "Liar, you are guilty of dark deeds and haven't been cleared of anything. You stayed at Epstein's Island, Epstein's Ranch in New Mexico, and Epstein's house in New York. You offered to help him with PR. You gave him gifts." And he goes on and on as he's blasting Hoffman. I believe that both of them, let me know in the comments down below, but weren't Hoffman, Musk, part of another, Peter Thiel, weren't they all part of PayPal back in the big days of the internet in Silicon Valley? Weren't they involved in PayPal and the PayPal Mafia is what they called it? It was Musk, and I think Hoffman was part of that. I know Thiel was part of PayPal or was involved with PayPal. Maybe I'm getting it wrong, but there was a group of very, very successful entrepreneurs, like five or six of them. And they were the first ones to put PayPal together. And then they went on to do all kinds of different ventures. but they know each other. They go way back. They know each other, Hoffman and Musk. No doubt about it. So what else before we get to a clown world? I feel like the entire video has been a clown world, especially the Munich segment. He's at Munich too, this guy. The number one opposition of Orbán, Peter Magyar, who the EU is really pulling for. He's their pick to win the elections in April. And they're putting a lot of support behind him. Anyway, he's involved in some sort of a scandal. Some sort of a video came out. Allegedly, I have to say that. This video is partying and hooking up and drugs and rock and roll, you know, that kind of thing. But he's involved in this video, allegedly. So we'll see if that affects his bid to become the leader of Hungary and to replace Orbán. He is the EU globalist's pick, Mr. Magyar. And if he does win in April, then Hungary is going to be 100% in the bag for Ursula and company. So anyway, that's going on in Hungary. Magyar is well known for living a wild lifestyle. That's what they say about him. I believe he said that this is blackmail. I think he posted on X that this is Orbán blackmail, and he doesn't respond or accept blackmail. He won't be affected by this type of blackmail. I think that was his response to this scandal that is breaking out. So let's do a clown world and we'll wrap up this video. We'll return to Munich for our clown world segment. Gavin Newsom was in Munich and he was telling the Europeans not to worry about Trump. No need to worry, because he said Trump is temporary. In 3 years, he will be gone. And then you'll get a president, maybe Gavin Newsom, who will be a lot friendlier to our European friends and allies. So, you know, they're just saying the quiet part out loud. But this is the strategy of the Europeans, is not that they're in some sort of a huge conflict with Trump or the Trump White House. They're all on the same page going forward. But you have this theater that the Europeans don't get along with Trump. They don't like Trump. And maybe they don't like Trump. You know, it could be possible that they are all signed up to the same script, right? They're all going in the same direction, but you know, they don't like their co-star, right? They don't get along with their co-star. It happens. You have movies where the actors do not get along. They're in the same movies, and the parts that they play are showing them to be friends and buddies, and they get along. But in real life, they don't get along. But they're still in the same movie and they still have the same goals. So I think something like that is going on with the collective West. They're all signed up to the same movie, but they probably don't like each other offset. And Gavin Newsom is telling them, just wait for 3 years and we'll put some co-stars in there that you'll like. Some actors that you'll like. Maybe myself, according to Newsom. AOC, she's in Munich auditioning for the president of the United States. She's showing her foreign policy chops. AOC, that's why she went to Munich to talk foreign policy. And she was asked a pretty straightforward question, a real softball question about Taiwan, China, troops, and Taiwan. And AOC had no idea. She had no idea what was going on. You could tell. Her reply was, Taiwan, China, I don't really know what's going on. Yeah, she had no clue. But she's auditioning for president, so she has to show that she knows something about the world and about foreign policy, of which she obviously knows nothing. Anyway, that was funny. That was a funny segment in Munich. Oh, and then it gets better. It gets better because we had Rutte, who was also speaking to Politico in Munich, and he was asked by the journalist about his daddy line. How did the whole daddy thing come up? That's what they asked Mark Rutte, the CEO of NATO. And Rutte blamed it on his English. He had no idea that when he called Trump a daddy, that Trump was going to create memes out of it, and that the meaning of daddy was something different than what he thought it was. and it became this big thing. But of course, he took time to praise Trump, right? Trump is funny, he's creative, he's great. but that's how he explained his whole daddy thing, right? So that's CEO Mark Rutte. And finally, we'll end it with stunning and brave Kaya Kallas, who once again gave us a history lesson. She's quite the historian. She's doing a lot of reading on history, Kaya Kallas, right? So she was asked about all the wars going on in the world, all the chaos in the wars, and the end of the rules-based order. Oh my God, the rules-based order is ending because of Trump. Oh my God, it's all ending because of Trump. What are we to do with the rules-based order, which never really existed? We kind of made the whole thing up, as Mark Carney admitted. But anyway, she was asked about that. And she gave a history lesson, stunning and brave. She talked about World War I, and then we had the League of Nations. And then we had World War II, and we had the UN, and we have the UN. But now the rules-based order is crumbling, and what are we to do? If we don't have a rules-based order, then all we have is tyranny and chaos and authoritarianism. What are we to do? So that was her history lesson. She's reading a lot of books. World War I, we had the Justice League. We had the Justice League. And then we had, after World War II, we had the United Nations League. And now we don't have any rules-based order. What are we to do? Poor stunning and brave. We're living in a chaotic world.
This, you know, that there wouldn't be any wars. I mean, if you think about League of Nations after the First World War, it didn't work because there was a war. Then after the Second World War, we had the United Nations so that there wouldn't be any wars. And now we are here. We have a lot of wars going on. So, you know, what is the opposite of the world order or a world that is based on rules is, you know, tyranny and wars.
Anyway, that's the video. Oh, Munich Security Conference. So much material from this two-day event. I'm going to end the video there, theduran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram and Substack as well. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. There's a link in the description box down below. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care.